Welcome to Health for Life, your trusted source for health and wellness insights. Proudly presented by Vitruvian Health, the comprehensive healthcare system serving Northwest Georgia and Southern Tennessee with leading entities like Hamilton Medical Center and Bradley Medical Center. We're dedicated to keeping our communities healthy and thriving. Today we're talking with Dr. Travis Carroll, a neonatologist at Hamilton Medical Center's Neonatal Intensive Care Unit, commonly called the NICU. Dr. Carroll, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to talk about this important topic.
It is important, too. I'm glad you're here. Today we're going to talk about two common issues that cause infants to be admitted into the NICU: respiratory distress and low blood sugar. For parents who may be unfamiliar with it, can you explain what respiratory distress in newborns is and why it is such a common issue in the NICU?
Well, respiratory distress is essentially the baby is demonstrating to us that they cannot breathe adequately and do adequate gas exchange without some sort of assistance. And the assistance that we can provide to them can be as little as just a little bit of extra oxygen that blows by them, to the extreme of putting a tube down and breathing for them and then giving medicine into their lungs to help their lungs aerate or expand. The types of respiratory distress that we commonly see in the NICU, the first one being called respiratory distress syndrome or premature lung disease. This is a consequence of babies being born early and not developing enough of their pulmonary architecture as
well. Like their lungs?
Yeah, their lungs. I like to equate it to, if you can imagine, you know, a very premature lung is like a sapling in the spring.
Okay.
And it needs those leaves for gas exchange. And a very premature lung doesn't even have those leaves for gas exchange. Whereas an adult lung is like a live oak that is 50 years old in the summertime, lots of leaves. And that's what we're trying to do with these premature lungs is get them to a point where they become great big live oaks when they're adults. We also see something that we call transient tachypnea of the newborn, which is generally related to a newborn lung that is probably mature enough, but for some reason, the fluid in the lungs, in utero, was not absorbed during the delivery process.
And
so we need some time for the body to reabsorb that fluid. And then there's meconium aspiration, which most commonly happens in babies who are beyond 40 weeks gestation. Meconium is baby poop, and babies poop sometimes when they're in utero. That meconium, as we call it, can be toxic to the lungs. It causes an inflammatory process that can be very severe at times.
Wow. Now, that is so helpful for us to know. How is respiratory distress treated in the NICU? How do you treat that?
We ask the baby what they need.
Yeah, okay.
That's kind of what we do.
Really?
We can, you know, we have a lot of experience, and we can look at a baby now, you know, with all of our experience, and we can say this baby's going to need, you know, surfactant, which is the substance that we put down in their lungs. This baby's going to need a ventilator, or this baby can get by with what we call non-invasive positive pressure support. Things like CPAP, which you might see on TV, you know,
well,
advertised.
Well, I use a CPAP machine at night,
yeah,
when I sleep.
We use a device of nasal CPAP, a couple different devices that we have on babies.
Little bitty ones, though.
They're little tiny
masks. I'll bet, yeah.
Little
bitty CPAP there.
So treatment depends on the severity of the distress, but some of the common approaches include, like I said before, oxygen therapy, a surfactant, which is an artificial substance that is designed to mimic a substance that is made naturally in our lungs,
okay,
but does not start being made until later in gestation. Okay.
So if they're premature, they may not have that yet.
Well, yeah, our expectation is they are not making it yet.
Yes. I understand. Okay.
Yeah. And not only that, but they don't have the lung architecture either. Those leaves aren't on the sapling if they're really, really premature. CPAP, which is a non-invasive positive pressure. And then we also just do very close monitoring. We are measuring oxygen levels, heart rate. We're measuring respiratory rate. At times, we're measuring a constant blood pressure as well.
Let's talk about low blood sugar, which is another issue that often arises at the NICU. What exactly is low blood sugar in babies, and why does it even happen?
So low blood sugar, or what we call hypoglycemia, most often is a consequence of one of three things in our population. The first and most common thing is prematurity. The premature baby does not have the metabolic processes yet to maintain their blood sugar without some sort of assistance. What happens during the last end of gestation is babies start to tack on a lot of fat and a lot of fluid, and that helps them maintain their blood sugar as well as a lot of glycogen, and it helps them maintain their blood sugar during the period after they're born before mom produces a lot of breast milk, because mom is not going to produce a lot. But the full-term baby has the stores or the reserve to maintain that until they can get more breast milk or formula. Premature babies don't have those reserves, so they often need some sugar water to keep their glucose up. And then often we see from infant of diabetic mothers, if mothers are not able to maintain their glucose very well during the pregnancy, the baby sees a lot of extra glucose and therefore makes a lot of extra insulin. Insulin lowers blood glucose. These babies are born with a lot of extra insulin, and so they have low blood glucose. And this is a transient sort of thing, and we just have to support them until they start doing it properly.
Well, now, what are some of the signs that parents should look for if they suspect that their baby might have low blood sugar?
Unfortunately, the signs that might be evident are often if it's to come critically low. That might be somnolence or lethargy, just a low energy level. Mm-hmm. It could be some shaking or tremors. Mm-hmm. It could be some respiratory issues. Or just generally the baby not looking well. When you look at them, their color doesn't look well. The issue with having a low blood sugar is if it continues for a long period of time, it could cause permanent and irreversible brain damage.
Oh, that's sad.
Yeah.
Now, how do you treat low blood sugar in a baby?
Well, the first thing we try to do is we try to see if the baby will just respond to normal feeding.
And does that happen often?
More often than not.
Okay, good.
Yeah. Yeah, most of the time the babies are kept with the mother. They're able to give the baby maybe some supplementation with a formula rather than, if mom's not producing a lot of breast milk yet, they can give some supplementation. We have an oral glucose solution that can raise the blood glucose as well. And then we give them the opportunity to prove that, they can do it on their own. And then if they can't, we give them glucose water through IV fluid.
It sounds like both of these conditions require close attention and care. What should parents know about their baby's care at the NICU if their baby is dealing with respiratory distress or low blood sugar?
Well, I think the most important thing to know right away is they're likely going to get better.
That is a good feeling, yes.
I think the next thing to know is we do this all the time, and if we have any concerns, we'll let you know about it. But your baby's going to have constant monitoring. We're going to be monitoring whatever it is we're treating, whether it be the respiratory issues or the glucose issues. We love to have parents involved whenever they can. We love to see parents at the bedside so that we can come and talk to them. We hopefully are communicating with the families very well. This is sometimes a little bit tricky, as we also take babies from all over this area. So oftentimes we just have to do that with a phone call and just making sure that they understand when the progress is expected to happen, if we have any quote-unquote setbacks, that they understand why and that what our expectations are.
Thank you, Dr. Carroll, for helping us learn more about the important care that's provided to infants and families at Hamilton Medical Center's NICU.
Thank you for having me here.
Thank you for listening to Health for Life, a presentation of Vitruvian Health, formerly Hamilton Healthcare System.